spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do sit. Every year on the first Sunday in Lent, we always have the gospel accounts of the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. All the accounts are really similar, and I think they're a great way to start off Lent. First of all, they reveal why we've got this period of 40 days ahead of Easter. We, every year, take time to purify our lives so that we can rise again at Easter, fresh and renewed. And we have a great leader. We have Jesus. Those temptations show us a reason why Satan fell. Satan, too, to begin with, was a son of God. Not the son of God, but a very high angel, an archangel, in charge of heavenly worship. And his original name was Lucifer, which means a light bearer. So the first temptation that the devil gives to Jesus is, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. So how does that temptation affect us? This temptation is for us to become completely self-reliant. If we're a son, why would a son not trust his father to provide for him? Satan is tempting Jesus to become an orphan, implying that he can't trust God. He can't rely on him. Jesus could only rely on himself, and God wouldn't feed his hunger. God wouldn't look after him. Isn't that a similar temptation for us? We often quite like to say, "Well, I did things my way." If we want something done right, we've got to do it ourselves, because we can't rely on other people. And then we're tempted not to trust God and not to believe. But God is good and God loves us. This very thing, to become self-reliant, is a really common temptation, and it's been that way since the beginning of time. Almost as though at times we're saying, "Well, I can't trust God." Satan didn't believe that God was enough, and therefore Satan fell. So what areas of our lives are we trying to be self-sufficient in? What areas of our lives are we cheating ourselves in order to make them work? We can't always follow the law because it gets in our way. And that's where the sin we are being warned against in this temptation is made very real. It is real. It's an area of our lives to be purified and changed, that constant sense of self-reliance. Jesus gives to Satan the antidote that man doesn't live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Do we not see that we draw breath this moment, right now, solely because God has allowed us to? We only live because our bodies follow a natural law. What if our hearts stopped following the law of beating? What if our lungs stopped following the law of breathing? We'd be finished. So we can only live by the word of God. And the second temptation is when Jesus goes up into a high place and he's shown all the kingdoms of the world. And he's told by Satan, I will give you all these kingdoms if you worship me. And this seems a bit abstract, but actually that temptation too can hit really close to home. Many of us want to be recognized by other people. Sometimes we want our accomplishments to be noticed by others. We want to feel sometimes that we're great and we're worthy of praise. And because of this, we can easily fall. And in doing so, in heaping all the praise for ourselves, we can often hurt the people around us by our words or by our actions. We can live entirely in a kind of a fantasy world. Some can have ambitions to be powerful. Those ambitions can take the form sometimes of addictions, or the games we play, the films we watch, pretty much all the time that we choose to waste in futile pursuits. In the end, every word and action of our lives is going to be weighed in the scales. Do we have godly ambitions, or instead, are we actually trying to be God-like in our ambition? Seeking to want to rule something, seeking to want to be thought of as being great, an idol even to be worshipped. Maybe a good way to combat this is to take some time during Lent to sit down, take a piece of paper, and write down how you use your time and your money. It shows us where our hearts are and what we really worship. It seems throughout Scripture that Jesus was there for sinners. He was always there for the broken and the lost, to sit down and eat with them. He didn't make much time to sit down with the righteous. Instead, he kept challenging the rules and conventions of the day. So maybe that even causes us to ask ourselves, well, actually, am I comfortable with being a sinner? I'm not talking about being comfortable about living in sin, but rather acknowledging ourselves for who we really are, people who need God's grace. We need Jesus to sit down and eat with us if we want to be saved. But the truth is, we all need Jesus. But sometimes, instead of sitting down with him, we just make an occasional date with him. That implies that we're not okay with who we are. We need to be people who need God in our lives constantly. And again, Jesus gives the devil that counterword. He says, worship the Lord alone. So are we okay with who we are? Do we even know who we are sometimes? Are we getting a bit delusional about what it is to be saved? Are we just making occasional time for Jesus instead of inviting him to come sit down and eat with us? So this Lent can be an opportunity to find out for ourselves just who we really are and who or what we worship. And then the final temptation, where the devil says, throw yourself down from this temple because God is going to send his angels and they'll catch you. They'll raise you up. And that's the sin of being presumptuous. And again, it's quite a prevalent thing for us. We can think at times, well, it doesn't matter what I do, because God's there. God's always going to forgive me. I don't need to follow God's law because I believe in God, so I'm going to be saved by God anyway. That's the sin of pride, and that's a really deadly thing. There's one thing to fall into sin through weakness, but it's completely another thing to think that the things we do wrong are nothing because we simply believe in a blanket kind of forgiveness. We could rattle off the Ten Commandments as often as we like, thinking that nothing's going to happen to us. And in doing that, we're tempting God's mercy towards us. We're not caring about the eternal life for the future. We're not really getting into God and knowing God's strength and God's goodness. And through that, we're often tempted to think that the only goodness here is on earth. Satan has everything, it seems, except his purpose, to worship God. The whole of the world is a sign of God's love. All the people of the world around us are signs of God's love. It's really easy for us to get complacent sometimes and to forget our need to be saved. And that final word Jesus has against Satan, don't tempt God. Are there ways in our lives in which we're being presumptuous, thinking that we've got it all right, and so we're tempted to tempt God's mercy? In Lent, it's a good opportunity for us to make a good and proper examination of ourselves. In those 40 days in the wilderness, Jesus was able to endure all those temptations. He endures them in order to show us the temptations that we're all going to face in life. Whether it's to have too much, whether it's to presume, whether it's to judge. Lent is an opportunity for us to purify, but also to change our lives again. Lent, for all its perceived doom and gloom, can be a great and a joyful time, because the self-examination allows us to be free. It means that we can live for ourselves, we can live for God in a way that means we are totally reliant on God. We're free. We're no longer slaves. Jesus wants us to be free so that we can be a whole person, so that we can live as God chooses us to live. Lent is an opportunity for taking time to look deep within ourselves, to see where our idols and our pleasures lie, to see how we use ourselves and our lives and all that God has given us. Lent is an opportunity to turn back to the Lord and trust the Lord with all our heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.